This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, good morning and welcome back to The Morning Run. I'm Roshan Kanesan with Noel Lim and Kusu Chuang in the studio this morning. And we've all got our serious faces on because we are now in the serious side of business. In about 15 minutes, we'll be speaking to Leah Rahman of the Institutional Investors Council Malaysia on the proposal to defer corporate anti-corruption legislation, also known as the Section 17A, of the Malaysian Anti-Corruption Commission Act. So before that, that's in about 15 minutes, as I just said, we're taking a look at markets. Chuang, it's looking pretty red.
Yeah, most of the share markets around the world, with the exception of the FTSE, was down yesterday. In America, the S&P was down by 2%. The Dow was down by, well, actually all three major indices were down by about 2%. The S&P ended at 2870, the Dow ended at 23764, and Nasdaq ended at about just a tad over 9,000.
Right, and I think year to date, the Nasdaq is just, it's the only one in the green, is that correct?
That's right, the Nasdaq is up by 0.3% on the year, obviously led by the FANG stocks and then technology stocks. Everybody's fleeing into tech now, obviously. And Jacuzzi will be one of the first to tell you that tech remains one of his bellwethers. S&P is down 11% on the year to date, and the Dow Jones is down by 17% year to date.
Yeah, so I think the red in the U.S. markets, which broke a series of green, which was the last few days, was on the back of a warning by one of their top health officials there, Anthony Fauci, that the opening of the U.S. economy too early may cause more deaths, while a dire outlook from the Federal Reserve regional chiefs caused markets, of course, spooked markets a little bit. So now, for more insights into global markets, we speak to Jack Kuzi, Director of Strategy at VFS Group. Jack, thank you for joining us on the line today. Malaysia's Q1 GDP comes out today, with some economists expecting a contraction. What do you think today's number will tell us about the Malaysian economy?
Yeah, good morning, guys. Thanks for having me on. I've got my serious face on too. GDP figures are almost like playing a game of bingo at the moment, right? You really don't know what's going to come out in terms of what we're going to see. And you're seeing that all over the world, you know, missed estimates and really numbers we haven't seen in history. So I think Malaysia's like any other country at this point in time. It's got domestic demand plunging. It's in the midst of what was looking like a global recession. But it's also got that triple whammy on the back of, you know, rock bottom prices in terms of oil, which is a major export for the country. So I don't think it's going to be a great number. The question is, you know, what's going to go going forward? I know there is some introduced stimulus within Malaysia that should help. One thing that Malaysia's got on its side is its overnight cash rate's around 2%, which is generally higher than a lot of the developed countries in the world. So they do have some monetary policy avenues to go down to further stimulate economy, but I'm not expecting a great number from an economy that was showing some signs of slowness going into the crisis, and certainly like every other economy now is looking forward to see how they move out of it.
Do you have any money in Malaysia, and is there any value to be found here?
No, I don't. I don't have any assets in Malaysia. When I look at the stock market last year, it didn't really perform well compared to global markets, but it hasn't been an area that I've looked at, to be completely honest with you.
Yeah, Jack, I mean, stateside, American stocks, clearly, without the technology element, you know, the loss of steam is quite clear and apparent. And of course, Asia is supposed to expected to drift lower as well today. I mean, what's your sense of the fund flows going forward in terms of where American share markets will be?
Yeah, really good question. So one of the guys that works for me sent out a chart. I'm not a big chartist, but he is. And he was looking at the S&P 500, which has rejected what he says is the most important Fib level at 612. So it's rejected it a few times. In my opinion, it's a bit of the buy the rumor, sell the fact. So we've obviously seen a massive move in markets over the last 3 to 4 weeks. And now we're starting to think, okay, we're starting to reopen. So we're seeing some states in the US reopen. Here in Australia, we're introducing, you know, new laws where you can have 10 people in a restaurant. And now as a market, as investors, we're starting to think, well, how is this going to work? You know, are we going to see rolling shutdowns? You know, what would it look like in restaurants? What will shopping centers look like? You know, will people go back and consume? And that's a big question mark for the market at this point in time. And I think that's where you're seeing, well, maybe we should take some off the table. It's been a great run for the market. You know, the Fed stimulus can only go so far. The stimulus we've seen from governments can only go so far. I think that's eliminated tail risk. It said to the market, we're not going to allow anyone to go bankrupt. We're going to do everything we can to build a bridge. Now that bridge has been built and we're starting to get to reopens, we're thinking, well, you know, what does this look like? And everybody's a little bit unsure. So I think that's what's, you know, led this market to go sideways in the last week or two. And now we're looking ahead and there's no clarity in how we're seeing the markets reopen or the economies reopen, which is the key to driving this market forward in the next 3 to 4 months.
Is it also a question of sell in May and go away?
Yeah, it tends to happen. I think this May is just unique in any other history where we can't really look at that. But you know, that may be a factor in terms of taking some profits on the table. It's unbelievable times. There's no playbook for this. I think I said this to you 2 weeks ago. And the market has run so hard so quickly, we're now looking ahead and going, okay, well, now we're going to implement some of these strategies. What are they going to look like? And that unsurety is creating, a little bit of take some money off the table and risk off.
So with that in mind, Jack, I mean, with no playbook and the rules to follow by, what are investors like you doing in terms of putting that money to use? Obviously, you can't be holding cash because people are paying you to manage it for them. So what's the strategy for you in particular?
I mean, look, there's always an element of cash in the portfolios that we're holding. I think it's still going to be, I know you mentioned this before I came, I still think it's going to be a tech-driven rally. I said this a couple of weeks ago, I think the big will get bigger. And that's where, you know, almost these tech companies are becoming safe haven assets, incredibly, where you can park your money. I think, you know, there is some diversification. We're not seeing the small and medium-term companies lead this rally at this point in time. It's been the tech-dominated rally, and that's where the money has been. Now, whether they can rise and introduce in terms of the economy going forward is still a big question for us. Tech still remains my big driving force, but in the last couple of weeks, we have been taking some money off the table, putting some cash back in the bank. I really like areas like mobile payments in the US, where I think we'll drive because of this, but it is a little bit of a risk off now in the last couple of weeks, to be completely honest with you, with anticipation of getting in should we see a dip in the market.
Yeah, Jack. So speaking, I think last week we saw PayPal and Square post some really good results. Now, from a few weeks ago, we're talking about the big getting bigger. Microsoft is up maybe 30% in the last 2 months. Facebook up 40%. These are some big accelerations in the valuations of this company. And while the big may get bigger, do you feel these valuations for the big tech companies are justified at this point?
Yeah, I do. To be completely honest with you, I do. I think you're advancing the use of technology. You know, Microsoft came out with a comment a couple of weeks ago saying tech adoption or technological adoption in our ecosystem or our sphere has advanced two and a half years in the space of a month or two. So it's pushed forward the way we consume the digitization of the globe. And the big winners out of that will be those big tech companies. So I believe that these valuations where they are justified. I mean, give or take, you know, a few percentages, considering the estimated growth we're going to see going forward. Now, I just wanted to talk about the companies like PayPal and Square that you mentioned that. In that space, if you look at the reason why we really like that area there, and we've been buying an ETF called iPay out of the US, which kind of captures this mobile payment, is cash is dead. You know, that this is probably the final nail in cash, and mobile payments and contactless payments will grow exponentially, particularly in the US, who had a lot of catching up to do. So when you look at a country like us here in Australia, we've got about a mobile payments, about 90% of our purchases are mobile payments, whereas or contactless payments in the US, that was only at 2 to 5%. So they've got an enormous way to catch up. So PayPal, Square, I think a company is going to do continually well, even Visa and MasterCard going forward. And that digitization of the globe has only accelerated because of COVID-19. And that's why I still see further growth in those and the big tech companies.
Is there a risk of a tech bubble coming up soon?
I mean, there's always a risk of a bubble, isn't there? But look, let's just, I mean, let me redefine this. You're right in some way. You can't have five companies driving everything. And we haven't seen, and that's what we've seen out of the market rally. So we haven't seen the smaller, the medium-term companies drive the rally, which is usually an indication of a turnaround economically. Now, in terms of the big tech companies, I mean, they've got so much cash. They got their fingers in pies everywhere. They're well-diversified across the globe. They're not companies that, you know, tend to be overvalued because they've got so much businesses and revenue continues to rise going forward. So in terms of that five or six, no, I don't believe they're overvalued.
All right, Jack, thank you so much for spending some time with us this morning. That was Jack Hoosie, Director of Strategy at VFS Group. Now, very quickly, before we go into a few messages, in a move that could combine, speaking of tech, two of the largest food delivery apps in the US, sources have told Bloomberg that Uber has made an offer to acquire Grubhub. Now, that's a food delivery app local to the US, and the companies are in talks about a deal that could reach an agreement as soon as this month. Again, speaking to the, this could be one of those big M&As that a lot of us were expecting to see in this space.
Yeah, you know, at the outside, I mean, they make for great headlines, but it just goes to show that in terms of strategy and in terms of direction, one can't help but to compare what happened with Grab and how Uber is doing in relation to that, right? So obviously, this is a sign of the times, as Jack Kuzi was saying. This is the new normal, and the expanded valuations that you see in some tech companies, including the billion-dollar valuations for some unicorns, are totally justified.
Yeah, it comes at a time when Uber is suffering because people are not really traveling, and so buying this food delivery company is reinforcing their business. However, I think for both sides, I think Uber as well as Grubhub, it's not profitable. Those segments are still not profitable yet.
And therein lies the problem we always talk about when it comes to food delivery. But the stock of Grubhub is up on the back of this news. Right now, we're going into a few messages. And when we come back, we'll speak to Leah Rahman of the Institutional Investors Council Malaysia on the proposal to defer corporate anti-corruption legislation, also known as Section 17A of the MACC Commission, MACC Act. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.